Hello and welcome to Film Forever Weekly, the show where every week we discuss, debate, and promote the independent films and news that the indie community needs to know. I'm Justin Kincaid, and with me as always is Demi Nakov. And today, we're discussing the 2017 short film Fireflies, written by Charles Hall and directed by Raouf Zaki. Man, when I first got submitted this film for review, I wasn't sure what to make of it. You know, just starting out, there are a few little things that kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say bothered me, but they kind of stuck in my mind for a minute. The film has some very beautiful visuals. Because there's no dialogue, a film like this needs to kind of have striking visuals to show the story more than telling. And at first, I wasn't really sure what was happening or why the need for sort of the dramatic music was in the background. But as the story unfolded, it really started to make sense. And I was like, oh, I see. And so let me tell you. So the log line or the synopsis of the film is, when a withdrawn Middle Eastern man begins frequenting a Boston cafe, the head waiter grows increasingly suspicious about the true nature of his visits. Well, you know, the problem that I have, and I both like and hate this, is the whole film is about paranoia and hate, okay? It's basically a show about mistrust in the Western world. And it's kind of funny to me because living here in the States, before 9/11, everybody in America who was that kind of person distrusted blacks and Mexicans. Now, because of the news medias and the propaganda, they want us to hate and mistrust all Middle Eastern people and Muslims and things. And it's this cycle of unending hate that these people, these pillars of our society, keep pushing to us, and it's fear-mongering is what it is. And the film, it makes me think about these kind of things. And for example, there's this scene right at the very beginning where there's this white guy reading a newspaper in the cafe. And there's some foreshadowing on the newspaper that I thought was really well placed. And again, it shows that paranoia and mistrust in the Western world. I don't know, like, The film really did kind of hit home with me, because when you get to that point where everybody's afraid of anybody who's slightly brown and comes from not this country, it makes it very hard to stick up to the ideals and assimilate new people into our culture. And
It comes back to a very, very, I don't know. But it comes back to, let's say, it's kind of a tactic back from military perspective. It's divide and conquer, you know. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. But the movie itself, for me, it can be summarized just with one line, we all know about that line. It's, don't judge the book by its covers.
Yeah.
That's. If I have to say one thing about this movie, is that don't judge a book by its covers, and not only about the movie, but about its message, about its why it is made. That's for me what it means. And everything else, like you mentioned about the homophobia and, you know, and the division of, you know, race and color and all those things. And but when you watch it and you look back at it, this is, for me, do not judge a book by its covers. That's what, that in one line, that's the movie for me.
Absolutely, man. I think that hits the nail right on the head. I mean, that the whole scene, like the whole outcome of the film, is a grim and somber reminder of the fear-mongering hate propagation that's rampant in the modern so-called news agencies and the proliferation of that nonsensical hate on the internet. And I thought that this film was so poignant and so powerful, and there was no dialogue. That's what threw me off. There was no dialogue in this film. Mm. I mean, it wasn't a silent film. Like, there were sound effects and there was on-site recordings and things like that, but the main character in his situation, there had no dialogue. In the flashbacks, the family, you know, the mother apparently had a little bit of dialogue, and he spoke to another person in the film, but in the current modern time, there was no dialogue.
I think the flashbacks were done quite well, actually, in a much better production value than the current times, actually.
Absolutely, yeah. The family scene was really nice. It was powerful, driving, and emotionally charged. But my, I guess my one little tiny critique, if I was going to complain, which I sort of hate doing, but was when the daughter is looking out the window. I think it could have used a bit more polish because it was very clearly a insert VFX shot there. But I don't want that to take away from how good I think this movie and those flashbacks and everything was. It's just for me that was kind of like if. I don't know. I like to put a little complaint in or a little criticism just so it doesn't.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be a fair review if you go and just basically sugarcoat everything. I mean, look, even blockbusters with $200 million, they get basically crucified for everything. And they have no excuse because they have a budget.
That's right.
So look at this, this short film. Done on what I assume nothing, with filmmakers and artists and actors who are really tossing themselves into the void, and just doing their very best. Of course, there's gonna be a misfire here and there with audio, with performances, you know, and camera work and post production. Mm-hmm. There will be, and for me, I guess for us with Justin and every single reviewer out there is the work they've put. That's what matters to us.
Yeah.
And yeah, for me, visuals could have been better. Yes. Audio on set, recording, could have been done a little bit better. Post-production sound could have been, you know, polished. The actors could have worked a little bit more with the director to polish their performances because on a few moments, you know, they were a little bit sketchy. The running time could have been trimmed a little bit to give a little bit better pace at some moments, not to make them so long. So yeah, there's always going to be something, but on the end of the day, it's a powerful message, like you said. Mm-hmm. It's about that. Don't judge the book by its covers type of thing. So we don't find out until the end that what his intention of the father are in that cafe, what he's doing there, and seems like everything really, really comes together at those last 2-3 minutes, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I was so glad that they didn't go the way that you would think that they would go with the film.
Yeah.
And just when, at the very last scene where he's putting this stuff out and he's doing that, and right before that final flashback where he comes out of the water, that moment there in the cafe was like, oh, yeah. Crap. Like, I was like, oh, what's going to happen to this guy? Because he's not the bad guy.
The filmmakers did two very clever things for me. There is they basically did a twist twice, like you mentioned just now. The first one was that, you know, his family actually didn't die of a bombing or anything like this that everybody else will expect. And the second one, this is a spoiler. Oops. And the second one was at the end that it didn't happen exactly as they as everybody would expect. It's a nice little foreshadowing connected with the last moments of the film with the flashback with his daughter looking out of the window, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought when he's standing there in the cafe and he's doing the thing with his hand, we won't spoil that part, but I would thought, holy crap,
is
that powerful.
I would just spoil one part. So.
Nah, that's fine. Little spoiler. I mean, you know, it's a review. A little spoiler has to happen. But, you know, that's the thing where he's standing there and, like, he's mimicking her and all that. I was like, oh, my God. This is just powerful, man. Powerful, powerful stuff.
Yeah, I have to say, I really like that actor. His performance was spot on. When I was saying earlier about more work with the actors, with the director, I think the other, the girl was fine and the mother was fine. It's just all the other supporting actors, the waiter, maybe, and the guy with the newspaper. I think those little bits and pieces could have been executed a little bit better to match the well performed performance of the father, you know, the main character.
Yeah, he had just this amazing intensity about him. I really dug that because his demeanor throughout the entire thing, you could tell that he was upset. You couldn't tell if it was rage when he's inside of his apartment hotel
No,
room.
I actually picked up a sadness and sorrow, actually.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I mean, you couldn't tell, like, when he's at his windows and he's closing the blinds and everything, you're not sure if he's angry at something there. But when he's sitting there looking at the flowers, oh my God, the heartbreak that that guy's face was able to portray in just a few seconds of sort of, just a few seconds of visuals was incredible.
That moment where he took the glass of water from the sitting gentleman, I think that could have been executed a little bit better, because for a moment I was expecting some comedy happening there, or an argument. And obviously, that if that was taken another step further to top it up, that would have actually justified that little moment, but it kind of went down in terms of tension for me, and kind of a little bit disappointment that it didn't went further that moment.
Yeah, I know. I was gonna point that out. That it was kind of weird, just the way that it was. Like it just felt bizarre. Like you kind of like the character was trying to want to start a fight or something. Like I'm not sure what that was about. I mean, who I'm yes, it would be petty to start a fight over a glass of water, but at the same time, it's like that's just weird. This is weird, you know?
I mean, I understand why it's done, and I don't say that, you know, don't do that moment. Of course, yeah, take the glass of water, but the other character could have reacted in a way that it doesn't have to be a full-on blown fight. It could have been, hey, you know, and the guy, the father can look at him, and of course, of what he reads in the paper or whatever, or can just basically, well, whatever, your water or whatever. So it doesn't even have to say anything. It doesn't have to be even a much dialogue from the father himself. But that client there, who the water was taken from him, I would have reacted. You know, I would have reacted in some way, even if it's not words. It would have been a lot more than what it happened.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. But the actor's name is I'm probably going to brutalize his name, but it's Issam Ferris, and this guy's been in a ton of stuff, and he's just an incredible actor. He's a multilingual actor and just truly incredible. And I think he was able to portray this character without speaking a word, just wonderfully. But. So that bit at the end of Fireflies, with the Fireflies, where they sort of represent in the scene and what they were meant, I mentioned it a second ago, but that was powerful as hell. And that's all I really want to say about the film, other than everybody listening should go check it out, because it is a short film and we've ruined it if we sort of delve into any more details. But it's an incredible film. I'll link to the trailer so you guys can check it out. When it comes out from RA Vision Productions, definitely get a hold of it if you can. So it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome.
And don't forget to not judge the book by its covers. Watch a movie. I mean, of course, a trailer can be done very well, or it can be done very poorly. But watch it and look for the meaning behind everything that's happening there. Obviously, not every film can be done with the standards we all expect to see. And to filmmakers, you know, sometimes, you know, just get the thing done. Have high standards, but don't let your high standards to stop you from completing your vision, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.